What's up, everybody? This week, Sarah and I rank 37 songs that were used as epic songs for epic movies. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 90s Podcast right here at the Cosmic Network. Hope you're doing well today, and I'm joined by Sarah. Sarah, how are you doing?
How fast are you talking there,
I don't
sir?
Know. I can't... it's one of those days. Do you want me to do that again?
Yeah. Well, no. I'm good. Y'all, when y'all listen to him, doesn't he sound like he's about to auction off, like, some fire chickens or something? Like
fire chickens.
Yes. Like, I mean, like one of them roadhouse auctioneers. Like,
got two chickens here, two chickens there. One chicken over there, chicken over there.
We got a three-legged goat that's only got... half a good eye. I mean, what is I'm doing
and
well.
Welcome back.
Yes.
It's been a hell of a week, let me tell you.
It's been a decade of a year of a month of a week of a day.
Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah. A lot has happened between Forrest Gump and here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, we forgot, right? Going through everything, we forgot the forest was named after a Ku Klux Klan general.
Erps.
Yeah. Screw that movie. And anybody who likes it. I'm just kidding. Or am I? No, I'm just kidding. So, Sarah, why are we here today?
We are here to talk about some songs on some soundtracks and rank them.
Yes. Now,
yes.
We have already pre-ranked these songs.
Yeah,
we did that off camera because we didn't want too much of a debate. So what we're going to do is we're going to tell you what the song is,
mm-hmm.
tell you where it's ranked,
mm-hmm.
tell you why it's ranked where it is,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit about why it fits the movie and so on and so forth. Just some general information.
So we're doing everything back on camera that we did off camera?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because this is not the first time we've recorded this. I've made all the graphics for this, and mm-hmm. then when I went to edit the audio, my audio sounded like...
wah, 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 wah.
Sounded a little bit like this. Going on to like this, and then everything going in the middle of my thing. I'd say it was fine. It was just my audio for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm looking at it now. Because I'm a professional.
So we've already ranked these songs. We've already done the ranking, but we're going to go ahead and once again explain
entertain
to you,
you.
Entertain you guys. Hopefully. Because we love you guys.
We do.
We really love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, here are the rules of engagement. Hang on one second. Let me pull up the rules of engagement.
There are rules.
There are rules to the rankings, and I'm the only one that cares about the rules.
I've always been a rule breaker. Sorry. Yes.
So, basically, what we did is when we ranked them,
mm-hmm.
we set a rule set in there.
Mm.
And that rule set said mm-hmm. that each song that mm-hmm. we picked is the mm-hmm. theme song of that movie. It's not necessarily... mm-hmm. You know, it's the song that was played in the trailer,
right?
Or
right.
a song had the music video associated with it,
yeah.
Or in some cases, the name of the movie named after the
right.
song. So each song is ranked.
Yeah. So when you think of the song, you instantly think of the movie.
Yes.
For the most part.
For the most part.
There are some songs that, depending on what side of the pond you're at, it might not immediately twig, but. For the most part, yes.
Yes. Each song is ranked on how it fits with the movie and how
yes.
good the song actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if it fits the movie good, but it's an awful song, you know, it's...
Then you split it in the middle.
Split it in the middle.
Yes.
Disagreements will lead to, in the middle of two tiers, lower two tiers. We've already done that.
Yes.
And we've had some interesting debates about some of these.
Yes.
And we've got the final ranking, which I will post to you at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And I will tell you exactly what they are. There are 37
yes.
songs that were going on. Excuse my clickety-clickety. Hang on.
I'm just clickety-clack. Yes.
I'm just getting to where...
He made such a pretty little graphic, y'all. He was so upset when it went away.
Yeah, I didn't know how I was going to do this. So we've decided to just... do it this way instead. So, first things first. This is
yes.
we're talking about things going across the pond and all
mm-hmm.
like that. Did you watch Four Weddings and a Funeral over here?
Yes, but it was a long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
Yes.
In a galaxy far away.
Mm-hmm.
No, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's my weird elf for today.
Mm-hmm.
So Wet Wet Wet, the song was by a band called Wet 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 called Love Is All Around. Now, it's a cover song of, I don't know, of Love Is All Around.
That's obviously. I guess. I'd bet some pennies that the name of the song that they covered might have been.
Yeah, but I think it was an old country song.
Mm.
But
okay,
this stayed at top of the charts in the United Kingdom for 19 weeks.
Wow.
And it held the record until I think Pharrell knocked it off.
With Happy?
I think so.
Mm.
I might be wrong.
So this was your Bryan Adams.
After Bryan Adams was our Bryan Adams. We'll get to that one here in a little while. But yeah, no, this was 18 weeks and then they finally deleted it. And you know what that means? They stopped making it. They stopped making any more copies of any CDs or anything like that. And what was out there was out there.
Why?
Because it spent 19 weeks at number one. By then, I think everybody who was going to buy it would have bought it.
Well, how do you know? If you stop making the copies, how do you know?
I don't know. Lots of songs are...
Well, that's just stupid.
Lots of songs are deleted, though, like that.
Y'all really do that?
Yeah.
Not in capitalism, USA. No.
It's a record label.
We ride that broke down diseased donkey as far as it'll go until... Just ask the I Love You Always Forever chick.
Well, I think DJs were getting sick of having to play it every 3 hours.
Oh, no. I didn't say that the DJs didn't get tired of it. I just don't understand the concept of not making the disc. Like, if people are buying the disc, like, are you trying to, like, boost it up the last couple of weeks by causing a shortage?
Pretty much.
This just, I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
I'm entirely too American for that, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so...
What do you think of the movie, if you remember it? Because I was too young to watch the movie.
Well, you're 3 years younger than me. I remember... I think I liked it. Okay. I need to see it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did we rank this one as, Sarah?
I have it as good.
We have it as good, yes. It's good. It's a good little song.
It's an alright song.
It's an alright song. Sarah,
it's good.
What's next?
What's next is from A League of Their Own by Madonna, who starred in the movie This Used to Be My Playground.
I like that song.
So do I. I love this song.
It's a very, very movie soundtracky song.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was written specifically for the movie and blah, 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 blah.
Sort of.
But it's, you know, it's, you picture it as a movie song.
Right.
You know, League of Their Own, a hilarious comedy drama, would you say?
Dramedy. Yes. There's no crying in baseball.
Tom Hanks is just...
Yeah, I love Tom Hanks.
Yes. A lot of people love Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. I don't. Not after Forrest Gump.
Y'all, I'm just warning you now. This will be the hill that he decomposes on. Because... and this is my husband. And when we talk about... Well, our kids do this. And I just point at him every time they do it. If this man has an opinion, he will not be swayed. It will be... The horse has ceased to be.
Once I'm given new facts, I'm swayed. You can't give me any more new facts.
Can somebody help who they were named after?
No. But it's part of the movie. They didn't have to write that into the movie. They didn't have to.
But at the time, this is more about Mama Gump than it does about Forrest Gump.
Let's say about Mama Gump, but why put it in the movie?
I mean, he didn't care. He was out there giving money to Bubba and all them, and Bubba's family and this, that, and the other.
That's true.
Okay, then. Stop tripping. Did you see the mama's face when he gave her that big old check and they added to the church because Bubba wanted to get money to the church?
Okay.
I never said he was.
I never said he was racist. I said he was named after a Klan
member.
You
just said you liked Tom Hanks except for when he played Forrest Gump.
Yes. Because Forrest Gump is an atrocious movie. we discussed that last week.
All right.
Anyway, back to Madonna.
Yes.
Back to Madonna.
It's a fabulous song. It's a great movie. It doesn't quite pull the thing up again, babe. It fits the movie, but it's not quite epic.
No, we put that as
great.
So what I'll do is I'll pull up my graphics So Madonna, it's great.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Next is Armageddon, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. We're going to take the ranking of this one first, then we're going to go into why. This one's all right.
Yes, I. This is creepy AF.
Yes.
Okay. And the reason why, all right, do I love the movie? I absolutely love that movie. I quote that movie, they don't want to pay taxes ever. So we quote this movie a lot. I love this movie. It is, in my opinion, it is one of the best that Bruce Willis has done. That's saying something.
It's a proper summer blockbuster movie.
Yes. And the song is beautiful. It is gorgeous. It is not the kind of song that you, I would think, as a parent, would want to record and put out there and it being used in a love scene that your child is going to be in on the silver screen. So for
Affleck.
Yeah. For Squick alone, I'm going to say
I'm with you on
that one. I would have said epic or great, which are the top two tiers, because it's epic, great, good, aight, and average. I would have put it at epic or great had it not been used while Ben Affleck was like using animal crackers to trace Liv Tyler's uterus. Like, this is not really this is not really the hill I'd chunk that on. So no, that's aight.
I agree. It's a little creepy. It's the same thing with the Crazy video though, the Aerosmith video.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's ridiculously creepy too.
Did he know that his daughter at that point?
Yes. Okay. And crying.
Because I knew it was later in life they found out.
Yeah, yeah. It was not that long before that, but Crazy and Crying, because she was in both of those and they were both equally as creepy. Or was Alicia Silverstone? But I know that Alicia Silverstone was in both, and one of those involved Liv Tyler, but I don't remember which.
Crazy, that one was.
Okay. But no, I don't. Mm-mm. That's just. I love Liv Tyler. I love Aerosmith. Speaking of what about Beautiful Stranger by Madonna for Austin Powers International Man of Mystery?
So this is the second appearance by Madge, and it's not going to be the last. But, I think this was a song that needed a movie rather than a movie that needed a song.
I like the song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It doesn't fit the movie at all.
No. Because this one's for Man of Mystery, right?
It's set in the 60s. I mean, and I realize it's got a bop to it.
Yeah.
But no, there's nothing Baccarat-ish about this at all.
No, and that too Austin Powers is a big fan of.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Groovy.
Right. Yeah. So,
that one as all right.
All right. Yeah.
So,
Fist It. Sorry, I'm making him click it so I can. Thank you.
Next, we've got a song that needed a movie and it got one.
Yeah, it did.
It got one. And this is a movie I quoted all the way through college, all the way through university.
And then we quote movies that reference the movie.
Yes.
We've seen Bad Boys.
So, this is Bad Boys by Inner Circle.
Bad Boys 2.
Right. So the movie is called Bad Boys, the song is called Bad Boys, and the artist is called Inner Circle.
Yes.
This goes on epic.
Absolutely.
Because it's an epic. First, that's an epic song to begin with.
Yes.
And it's one you troll the cops with whenever they drive by your window at night. But Will Smith, with his wordy dudes, when he was still the Fresh Prince, and you had Joey Pence on there. You had Martin Lawrence. It was supposed to be a vehicle for Martin Lawrence, and Will Smith kind of stole the show.
Yeah, he did.
And I love that movie. I don't know if it's streaming or not, but I think I'm covering it this season. If I'm not covering it this season, I'm covering it soon.
Yeah.
Because I've got
it. We've got it, don't we?
No, we don't have it.
Oh.
It's not in our extensive DVD collection, because we still have those children. Because I don't rely on streaming, because streaming sometimes doesn't have what you want to watch.
That and internet sometimes go poof.
Yes, but this song, epic.
Yes.
Absolutely epic. No other way to describe it.
Mm-mm.
So, clickety click.
And then we have the next two are from the same movie.
Okay.
So we're talking about the movie, Batman Forever, the movie that was so epic, it spawned not one, not two. Well, yeah, at least two. Yeah, two, sorry. Not one, but two songs on the soundtrack. So the first one that we're discussing is Hold Me, Kiss Me, Thrill Me, Kill Me by U2.
I'm laughing. Look at your sheet. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the name of the movie?
It's Batman, but you put Bant-Man.
So like
I wasn't going to point out the fact that you got all like...
Some British superhero who deals with nothing but insults all day. It's just Bantamate, you know.
I cannot with you.
This song right here is on my playlist of songs mm-hmm. that I don't skip when it comes on, but not songs that I look for.
That's you have a playlist of that?
No, I mean, right.
That's an oddly specific playlist.
You know what I mean? Just songs that I don't wake up one day and go, oh, listen, I need to listen to Bono today. But then again, I'm like that with most of you two anyway.
I blame that album, the Red Album or whatever it was that they dropped on it, that they the iPhone album.
I actually like that album.
Okay, I liked it.
I think it's very good, actually.
I didn't need it yeeted at me. I mean, how full of yourself do you have to be like, everybody needs my work?
Apple threw them $80 million.
I mean, I didn't say that.
If Apple threw $80 million and told me that all my stuff would be put on every Apple customer's iTunes account, I would be like, gimme.
I said good.
You said good. Where are we? Yes, it is. It's a good song. Mm-hmm. It kind of suits the movie a little bit because it's a creepy song, and the Batman was trying to be mm-hmm. Batman was trying to be creepy. Mm-hmm. The Schumacher Batmans, anyway.
Mm, yeah.
Even though they turned out campier than a campground.
Yes. Yes, they did.
With the bat nips.
Right.
And the bat cheeks.
Yes.
But that wasn't the only song that came from this. It was Seal, Kiss from a Rose.
Yes.
Now, I don't think this suited the movie. But as a song, it was better than Hold Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, Throw Me.
Can't even say it right.
I can't say it right. Can I?
No, I agree. That's why I have that one as great.
It is great. That's what we have it as.
Fabulous.
So, what did you think of the we've covered both Schumacher Batmans in detail on here. Just for recap, what did you think of Batman Forever?
Oh, it's excellent bat nips. There we go.
Tommy Lee Jones trying to out Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Drew Barrymore making her comeback.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
There we go.
All right. The next one. Now, I've got the little Anthony rap in my head. Beavis and Butthead Do America's Love Roller Coaster by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know the song off the top of my head.
One, two, three. I've got a ticket to a ride with me. Okay, anyway.
Keep going. It's content.
No, it is not. That is, for me, is epic.
Well, we're going to put it in epic because, like I said, I don't know the song. I'd probably recognize it if it was played. But I'm not a big Chili Peppers fan, and while I enjoyed the cartoon Beavis and Butthead, I never really got Beavis and Butthead to America, partly because I had a classmate who sat next to me who'd always pull a sweater over his head and call himself Cornholio, and I wanted to punch him square off in his nose every time did it.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't like Beavis at all.
Mm.
He would just do it to annoy people.
Mm.
So,
yeah. All right. So, we have that as epic?
We had that as epic, yes. We
put that as epic. Yay! Now, next is from another fabulous movie, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Now, this song is not a 90s song.
No. No.
It was made in the 80s or 70s?
Yes. Early 80s?
Okay.
I think. Somebody's got to fact check me on this one. But it's from Kiss. God gave rock and roll to you.
Kiss. Somebody described Kiss to me one time as Boomer Juggalos, and I can't unsee it now.
No, I'm laughing because in my youth, I was close enough at both sets of concerts to get Gene blood spit on me and to get hit in the head by the seltzer bottle at an ICP concert. So, yeah, I could see it.
I mean, God Give Rock and Roll to You is like, isn't it the same lyrics over and over again?
No.
It's been so long since I've listened to it, I can't remember.
But
that,
it's pretty much the chorus.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, I know it's the chorus. I just didn't know. I don't know any of the verse lyrics.
It's been a minute. If it was on, I could sing along with it, but my brain is... I've had children since then.
Fair enough.
Okay. Fair enough. So, yeah, I could pull up, like, the Wiggles lyrics way better than I could pull up Kiss at the moment.
Anything for
which
SpongeBob.
Is sad. Right, yes, anything. Thanks, John. Now I've got the campfire song in my head.
You know and who wrote that? The guy who does Phineas and Ferb.
Very cool. Oh, one of the things that I do, plug, every day we have on YouTube, there is a show from 3 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time called The Creative Sprints. And we work on our creative projects for, like, we do 6 Pomodoros, which is 25-minute sprints. And then we, anyway. But there's a woman who is from Australia who comes in. And she'll come in and she'll talk. She's like, because, you know, it's summer down there. And she's like, hello from the sunny city of Townsville.
The city of Townsville.
The city of Townsville.
For a point, name that cartoon. Put it in the comments.
Every time she comes in. And it amuses me and tickles me and warms my heart to no end. Yeah. But if any of you, if you're working on anything you need to concentrate on, so it can be creative work, it can be homework, it can be work, if you need somebody to kick your butt and sit in butt in chair, as Flula would say, and do the work, check us out on Creative Sprints on YouTube. Every
it's
day.
On YouTube. And I might be kind enough to drop your channel in the description.
If they've made it this far, they know how to Google. So please do that. But if you forget, I'm not going to hold it against you.
I was just trying to be convenient.
Were you now?
Yes. I was being nice. I was being convenient.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, next song. Back to Rankin.
Sorry.
There you go. Back to Rankin. It's a song by a criminally underrated band.
Yes.
Criminally underrated. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about, like, in America, they had a minor hit with this song. But even in the UK, they had, like, two albums worth of real, real good material, mm-hmm. and then they kind of fell away.
Yuckadoo.
It's a band called Feeder. Mm-hmm. And the song's called High. And the song itself is for the movie Can't Hardly Wait. I think it was written specifically for the movie.
Okay.
Now, I've not seen the movie Can't Hardly Wait.
I want to tell you that I have, but it would have been many, many years ago, and I can't promise that I was sober. I'm just going to be real with you.
Going to be real. No, the song itself is fantastic. Yes. It really, really is.
Yes.
I mean, it summed up a style that they can play. Because mm-hmm. they're more... someone described them to me once as the British version of Smashing Pumpkins.
Hmm. Okay.
Which they can do that hard rock, they can do the metal mm-hmm. rock, they can do the acoustic rock, they can do everything in between.
Yeah, it fits.
Punk
yeah.
rock.
Yeah, that fits.
And they had a real, real big hit with a song, and even the guy who wrote it said, I don't know why I put that in there, who drinks cider from a lemon? So, but that, check it out if you can, it's called High by Feeder. We put that in.
Great.
Tony the Tiger will be very proud of us.
Yes. Next is from the movie City of Angels. The artist is Goo Goo Dolls, and the song is Iris, because he'd give up forever to touch you.
Frank
I have it
as a good
great.
Iris in the holodex.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen a clip that he does do a good yes. Iris. Okay, I'm gonna say great.
And I think I agree with you on that one. I think I did agree with you on that one. Yes, I did.
He can't read his own writing.
I can't read my own handwriting. Hang on 1 second.
Ah, the spectacles.
Spectacles are coming out because I'm old.
He's getting ready to turn 40. So by the time you hear this, he will be 40. And he thinks that he's going to wake up the morning of his birthday and, like, just rot, just turn to ash. Keeping in mind, I'm 3 years older than him and I still have not ceased to be. But no.
You're eternally young.
You're sweet.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, the next song you probably don't know, but you would know it if it mm-hmm. played.
Yes.
It's a song called We Haven't Turned Around by a band called Gomez, another criminally underrated band from mm-hmm. the UK. Mm-hmm. This is in the Cruel Intentions soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And this was played, like, at the end of the movie when, you know, when at the
spoiler alert, at the funeral they were handing out the diary stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you'd recognize it because the guy who sings has got a baritone voice.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, any cause in the world. Because I can't sing. I'm not even going to try and do it. But that's my humming impression of it.
Mm.
It's a real, real good song, and I think it deserved to go in the epic category.
And I agreed.
So we put it in epic.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
All right, next. Oh my gosh. Just epic. Just epic, 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 squared. From the movie Dangerous Minds, Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise.
Yes. Yes, it's a fantastic song.
Can they reach me? I guess they can. I guess they won't. I'll stop.
You can keep going.
No, we can't afford to pay for that. I'm not going to keep going.
You got 6 seconds. Go.
No. Oh, goodness.
No, I think this song is remembered mainly for two things.
Mm-hmm.
The music video,
mm-hmm.
which is clips from the movie, and mm-hmm. I think they actually filmed some original stuff with Sharon Stone.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer, excuse me. I was
just sitting in the chair.
Just sitting in the chair.
Staring blankly like she can't see nobody. Just go spitting bars in her face.
And Weird Al Yankovic's parody of it that he didn't get permission of, but he thought he did, so he changed his...
Okay, in his defense, his people told him they had permission.
Yeah.
So.
And they made up before Coolio died.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's something. But what do we say with this one?
Epic.
We said epic, okay.
Yes.
Next.
All right, Kay, this is one of my all-time favorite 90s movies. Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
The song is Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith. Now,
another appearance for Aerosmith?
Yes. This fits because one of the subplots in the movie is everybody's trying to figure out, are we going to the Aerosmith concert? Because this is set in 1976. So, having said that, you have baby Ben Affleck in this. You have the first major film for Matthew McConaughey, and which in meme land, that is where All Right came in, along with It'd Be a Lot Cooler If You Did.
Right.
Those are both from that movie, and you also have Cole Hauser in that movie playing a dude jumping out of a truck with a wooden paddle about to beat a freshman's butt. Who would grow up, I said, well, he was already grown, but who would go on to play in Yellowstone?
Okay.
Yeah. So, amazing cast, amazing plot, amazing soundtrack, amazing song. I am yeeting this to epic.
And I agreed.
Yay.
So, next is Empire Records. The song is Till I Hear From You by the Gin Blossoms. You have 6 seconds.
Great. It's great.
We put that as great. I have not seen Empire Records. And I've never seen it. I need to watch it. I know.
Can I gasp again?
You can gasp again. You can clutch your pearls.
I'm not wearing pearls.
Yes. Well, no. I just never seen it. I've never...
Y'all.
We don't own it. And on the streaming stuff, I've never found it.
But it's got all your people in it.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
But I've never found it. Does that make sense? It's like...
Yeah.
Because you know how I scroll through the stuff and then don't watch anything.
I've got This Is Great.
Well, if you have It As Great, I'm going to take your word for it. But you have It As Great and I had It As Good.
Mm.
So we put that in the good category.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, next...
Back with Madonna.
Yes. But, you know what? Don't cry for her, Argentina.
But it's a musical.
It's from Evita. It is one of these songs from a thing. So, you know, if one of the rules is how does a song work with a movie, this way.
This one is a the lot. Movie.
It is the movie. Yeah.
You can't handle the truth. No, this is the truth.
Yeah, right? So this would, by default, it's a tearjerker of a movie. It's a dang good song. She kills it. The video is flawless. Epic, 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 epic.
It's already there.
That's okay. Not on this list.
No.
Okay. Now, the next one. you've ever thought of sitting at a pottery wheel with Whoopi Goldberg substituting your significant deceased other, this one's for you.
It was Demi Moore, not Whoopi Goldberg.
No. Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze. You've never seen Ghost.
Yes, I've seen Ghost.
Okay, remember, Whoopi was the medium.
Yeah, but she wasn't the one in the pottery scene.
No, not at the first pottery scene, but at the end, she was channeling through. It switched to show, but you don't realize unless you put the thought into it that that's actually Whoopi.
Okay.
She's seeing it as him, but it's Whoopi.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you've ever wanted Whoopi Goldberg to stand in for your deceased spouse while you make a vase, this is it for you.
When was this song made? In the 50s or 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Righteous Brothers doing Unchained Melody from Ghost, it's epic.
Epic. We put it in.
Thank you.
Next, Godzilla.
Yes.
Cover of David Bowie's Heroes by the Wallflowers.
Yes.
Criminally underrated band.
Yes.
For those who don't know, it's the son of Bob Dylan.
And Jacob, yeah.
Jacob and his friends. And this is a really good cover.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not...
It doesn't really mesh with the movie.
So we put this one in.
Aight.
This one in all right. Now, went to another musical.
Yeah, this one is sort of in the Evita category in that... you can't think of, okay, when you think of Lion King, there are a few songs, but this is the song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight by Sir Elton John. Yes. And we have that, or I have that as epic.
Yeah, I have that as epic too. I mean, if you want to listen to our thoughts, the network's thoughts on The Lion King, go check out the Lion King episode we did a couple of years ago.
With you and the guys.
With me and the guys, where I lost all control over my humor. Like, I physically hurt for days after.
One day. Do you still have the behind the scenes for that?
I've got everything on there. I might release an adults-only version of that, because believe me, we spoke for 3 hours and there's a lot of stuff that I had to cut out.
A lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Just to make it... Not
acceptable.
Just to make it acceptable, but if it was up to me, I would have put the whole thing out uncensored and called it good.
Yeah.
Because it was absolutely hilarious. So we put that in epic.
Yes.
And epic it goes.
Yes.
Now, my favorite song on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Man on the Moon.
Is the movie.
The movie.
That's not the song.
The Great Beyond is the song by R.E.M. I love this song. Yes. And then 6 seconds.
Crash into... Okay.
What a song by one of the greatest bands who ever existed.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've got an R.E.M. review coming up, and we've done an R.E.M. review in the past. We're actually going to be reviewing the song Man on the Moon in a couple of weeks.
Yay.
So, you know, but what a song, what a movie too.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey channeled some dude's version of Andy Kaufman,
and it's got the patron saint of the podcast
in it. Courtney's in there.
Yes,
God bless Courtney.
Yes,
and we're gonna have to do a review of The Great Beyond at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Got Danny DeVito in it. You can't go wrong with Danny DeVito.
At some point, we need to do Live Through This or whatchamoodle, the album, the Celebrity Skin.
Okay.
Or was Celebrity Skin in 2000?
No, Celebrity Skin was in American Pie, so had songs in American Pie.
Okay,
So it is a 90s thing. But we put that in epic, because it is epic.
Yes.
Okay, so, first appearance on the list,
mm-hmm.
as a musician.
And not an actor.
And not an actor, for Mr. Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Men in Black.
Do you remember the dance?
I can still do the dance.
Just bounce. Okay. Now freeze.
We're ridiculous.
Our kids cannot even with eyes.
Here's the thing. The song doesn't match the mood of the movie.
No. Well, sort of. Yeah, no.
This is the commercial for the movie.
Yeah.
as opposed to it being part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because the soundtrack to the movie is very, very science fiction and fast-paced. Mm-hmm. And whereas this is, I don't say more laid back, but it's a lot slower.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we only put this one in good. So there's a bit of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
But, excuse me, hiccup. But Will Smith's acting in that movie
mm-hmm.
was brilliant. And I think we're doing Men in Black later on in the season.
Yes.
We might not be, I'm not sure. But
not this season, the next season.
If not season, the next season. But did you know that in Men in Black, they completely rewrote the plot in post-production and nobody knew about it until they saw it? They didn't have to change any lines in the movie. They just had three scenes. They didn't have to change any of Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones' lines. They had three scenes that they changed. One was a computer graphic.
Mm-hmm.
One was revoiced the dog. And one of them was an action sequence that they just chopped up and repurposed.
Huh. Nifty. We'll talk about that
when we do Men in Black.
But I have it as good.
I have it as good, too.
Cool. Next is by Cher in Mermaids, which she also starred in, and it's his kiss, the Shoop Shoop song.
Shoop, 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 shoop.
Not to be confused with the Waiting to Exhale Shoop Shoop.
No.
No. So, but... his kiss, Shoop Shoop by Cher. Every time I think of Cher, a million years ago, RuPaul had a talk show for a little while on VH1, and he had Cher on there, or she had Cher on there, and RuPaul asked Cher what it was like having all of these people impersonate her, because everybody was trying to, like, when they sang like Cher, and RuPaul says, so yeah, Even that guy from Hootie and the Blowfish, he sings like you. And so now every time I hear Darius Rucker in my head, I was like, he's doing a Cher impersonation. Her.
You're me.
And if you wanna know. Yeah. So I have this as good. It's a good song and I love Cher. And the movie was great. But it, even the, other than time periods, it doesn't really fit. It was just... It was a song that was stylistically in the same time period as the movie, and that's where we're at.
And that's so, all it was. So yeah. Okay. So we put that in good.
Yes.
All right. Not all right. Good. Anyway.
Yeah.
Next movie's Reality Bites, and the song is Stay, I Miss You by Lisa Loeb.
I love Lisa Loeb. You know I love Lisa yes. Loeb.
You had her glasses for a while.
Sort of, yeah. Lisa Loeb... this particular song was the first song by a female to hit number one, and it wasn't signed. She had no record deal.
Yeah.
So she got all that money.
Nice.
Right?
And a lot of money by the sounds of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, because she was Ethan Hawke's neighbor.
Yeah.
And they were looking for songs. He's like, well, my neighbor is a musician. And they're like, oh, cool. Bring stuff. And then she came over there. You say so, yeah.
Does it fit the movie?
No.
No.
The movie doesn't fit the movie. I mean, it's a good movie, but you walk out just thinking about Winona Ryder scamming her parents' Exxon credit cards and talking about how a Big Gulp has all the nutritional value you need for the day, like. Yeah, and that Ben Stiller was a jackass in it, so...
So we put this as
great.
Great, though. We put yes. this as great. So it was better than some of the other stuff. And that's another thing we started ranking around about now was, well, hang on a minute, is this song better than this song?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're going to see some more weird ones.
Yes.
Like this one right here, Reservoir uh-huh. Dogs, Stuck in the Middle with You by Steely Dan.
Yeah, this is another one of those that the movie came out in the 90s with the songs from the 70s. So
it's an iconic scene.
Yes.
It really is an iconic
yes.
scene.
Yes.
I mean, but you could have put any song in that scene.
Yeah. See, for me, being an American, when I think of this song out, like, on a screen, I don't think of it from this movie. I do, but that's not my first thing. Early in the 80s... Fruit of the Loom used this song as an ad, and it was like underwear on a clothesline, and they were talking about they wouldn't ride up your butt.
Okay.
And so stuck in the middle with you. Yeah. Get it? Yeah. So to me, this is just like an anti-wedgie song that also had a really good, awesome pop culture moment.
Yeah.
So,
but for our purposes,
That makes it aight.
Makes it all right. I know a lot of people who listen to this are going, only all right. It's iconic, mate. But
it
no,
is. It
just,
but it doesn't really fit. Other than that one scene, how does it fit the movie?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you go. We could do a whole thing about Tarantino soundtracks and how awesome they are.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, to me, sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else that he's done kind of fit.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, so before Wet, Wet, Wet was Wet, 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 you had Bryan Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that we're closer to the summer of 69 than we are to the summer of 69?
Mm,
you know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody knows what I meant by that, post a comment.
Bryan Adams, I once had a dear, 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 dear friend who once asked me, if God loved us, why did he give us Bryan Adams? This song was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was on all the radio stations.
Yep.
It was on all the VH1 forever. It was even in, yes, it was even in every school piano recital for quite a while. So when I say it was everywhere, I mean it was everywhere.
Like Johnny Cash.
Yes. So everything I do it for you.
I mean, it was a song that mm-hmm. was just, the song was bigger than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's, I love that movie. You know, I'm one of like 10 people who thinks it's probably the best Robin Hood adaptation.
Oh, I love that movie.
Aside from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah. I love that movie. The song doesn't fit the movie.
No.
And because of that, we gave it what?
We put this one.
I know where I had it.
We had it in all right. Where did you have it?
I had an average.
And we put it in average.
Because I said average and you said all right.
Yeah.
All right. This next one is a favorite of yours by one of your favorite bands, The Cardigans. The movie is Romeo and Juliet, and the song is Love Fool.
Oh.
Now, you love this band, but this is not your. This is no. not a good song for you by them because it no. doesn't really encapsulate who they are at
no,
all.
This is their screw off to their record label.
Right, but this movie, it fits the movie. Like yeah. it really fits the movie.
This adaptation of Romeo and Juliet was phenomenal for a start.
Yes,
setting it in modern times.
Yes,
using the exact same dialogue that Billy Shakes wrote.
Yes. Baz Luhrmann is amazing. So I have this as great.
What did I have it as? I had it as great too. Yeah, I don't like the song.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like a Barbie Girl in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not meant to be taken serious, but everybody
right.
took it serious.
Right.
And Cardigans would come back with like a real, real great album called Eraser Rewind, which if you haven't listened to, I recommend you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the song My Favorite Game, with the one of the simplest guitar riffs ever done, but made the song. You
right,
know?
Right.
So, but that was Love Fool. We put it in. Great. Okay, now this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you take the driver's seat on this one because I get confused.
Okay, we've had movies with two songs so
well,
far. Oh, you had a movie with two songs.
Not yet. We're getting to that.
Batman.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Bantman, Sarah. Bantman.
Yes. Yes. I thought you were talking about one that's coming up later, but go ahead.
Yeah, so this movie has two songs. It's the same song. It's a cover in the original.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the original we'll talk about here in a minute, but we're talking about So I Married an Ex-Murderer, which is a fantastic, fantastic movie if you've never seen it. I one of Mike Myers.
We quote it so much.
Heed! Okay.
Jesus.
Mike Myers playing Shrek.
Yes.
And playing himself.
Yes.
I've forgotten who else was in it now.
What's her face? Yeah.
Amanda Plummer.
I love her.
playing Amanda Plummer.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing the creepy, scary one. Mm-hmm. But this song featured There She Goes. Mm-hmm. Now, the first version of it you hear at the very, very opening sequence and at the closing sequence.
Yes.
And it's a song by the Boo Radleys, another criminally underrated British band.
Yes.
That didn't get their due over here at right. all. I think this is the only song that they released over here to some...
Maybe.
You need to go check them out because they're phenomenal.
Yes.
So they did this cover of There She Goes. And you know There She Goes. That was a worldwide hit by the Lurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one's slightly different. It's the same words and same...
Yeah.
You know. But this was a cover of it. And we put this cover in good.
Yes.
However... That fit the movie because the movie was set in San Francisco.
Right.
It was to deal with hip young cats. Yeah. You know, and there's a point.
Cats.
It's.
I gotcha. Keep going.
You know what I meant by that.
I know what you meant.
But, like in the beginning, they even touch on that where this says, so why are you dressed like Huggy Bear? I'm supposed to look hip. No, you look like an undercover cop trying to look hip.
Yeah, right. That's
because I am an undercover cop trying to look him.
Right. Right.
And it goes on like that. But it's you know, it's kind of not mainstream. Right. It's hipster.
Right.
It's a hipster movie. And then they play the original There She Goes, slap bang in the middle of the movie.
Which sort of the vibe, it doesn't pass the vibe check.
It doesn't. It's just there to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And phenomenal song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think every rhythm guitar player worth his salt should know how to play this song. But we put this one in. Drum roll, please.
Ding.
Average.
Yes.
Great song, but just didn't fit the movie at all in any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
So, I'm leaving this one up to you.
Okay. Y'all, there is no way... This one's not going to take so that long because I have the best intro for it. There is no way that the Spice Girls are going to have a movie called Spice World with a song called Spice Up Your Life.
Everybody and it not will.
Be epic.
People of the world.
Yes. Aww. Shake it to the left. Shake it to the left. Shake it to the
left. And there's your 6 seconds.
Darn it. Okay. So, yes, yeah, Spice World, epic. Epic, 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 epic. Did I mention it was epic?
For all the music that you like, I'm surprised how much of a big Spice Girls freak you are.
Oh, no, don't be. No, like, my friend Kathy back in the day, like, when they hit, like, we were all in our little rock vein, whatever thing, and she's like, yeah, you're really going to, this band, where you're going to get lost in them and we'll never see you again. I was like, it won't be that...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you'd go from Nine Inch Nails to Spice Girls. I mean, that's...
Typo negative to, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next is Kevin Costner's second movie appearance here.
And Whitney Houston's first.
Yes. That would be The Bodyguard, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. There is...
What's Whitney Houston's favorite coordination?
Hand-eye.
Yeah.
I can't with you. This video and the song... The song is the movie.
Yeah.
And the movie's great. I was thinking about this movie the other day when I was driving past somebody's house and they had... have you seen the movie?
It's been a while.
Okay. So I was driving by... Coming home the other night from my sister's. And I was driving through like, this really fancy neighborhood. And somebody had a dial touchpad by their driveway. And it didn't work. And I was like, Kevin Costner would not be happy that that touchpad's broken.
The video reminds me of Gangster's Paradise video in the sense that it had a lot of intercuts from the movie in there.
And then she's sitting in a chair? Do you know why material, she's sitting in the chair?
Why?
She's sitting in the chair because she was pregnant with Bobby Christina, and it was like it was a high risk pregnancy, and she had had miscarriages before, so she was in that chair. She wasn't getting out of the chair, so that's why she's in the chair.
Okay, I got that.
So, but it's epic.
Put that in epic.
Yes,
we sure did. Okay, next up on the list is "The World Is Not Enough" by Garbage.
Yes.
It's a Bond theme.
Yes.
That's all that needs to be said about it. It does not. It adds nothing to the movie except that it's...
It's
a prestigious music gig.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It's prestigious. Look, being the theme for a Bond movie is, you know...
It's
high praise.
Yeah.
But none of them fit the movie because, as soon as...
GoldenEye did, but that's neither here nor there. GoldenEye is its own thing.
I don't think so. And let me tell you why. The Bond movies are up until Daniel Craig were campy spy action, fast paced. Whereas the theme music was supposed to be sultry and sexy and.
Brosnan was my favorite Bond. So
we put this under good.
Yes, we did. All right. Well, every night in her dreams, she'll see you. She'll feel you. Whichever. Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, Titanic. It's been 84 years.
Yes. That's how long the movie runs for, by the way.
Yes.
Brought to you on 2 VHS tapes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which I didn't understand because we had 4-hour VHS tapes in the UK.
We had them too, but those weren't premium. Premiums where you get the best picture only came in 2 hours. That I have is all right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Is it a good song? It's an absolutely great song. But it's one of those where the song was simply there to push the movie. I mean, the movie's set in 1912.
I mean, and we all know what the movie plot is going to be. Eventually, ship's going to hit the iceberg.
Iceberg right ahead. Yes. So, did I tell you that I had the misfortune of sitting behind the Shreveport branch of the Leonardo DiCaprio fan club?
No.
When I went to go see Titanic?
Nope.
And this was like, it had been out for 2 weeks. This was their 7th time seeing it. And they were all blubbering like it was their first. And these are all 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Now, to be fair, I've watched Transformers, the movie, about 100 times, so I know what they're going through. You can only watch Optimus Prime die so many times.
I love the fact that you're empathetic. I love you so much. See, this is why he's such a great husband. It's like, I totally get it, Optimus Prime.
If you didn't shed a tear Optimus Prime's death as a child, you have no soul.
I went to see the Transformers on a double feature at the Dollar Movie Theater. And I went to go see that and Benji. Okay, so my little 80s heart was so happy. My mom slept through both of those, but I was like, yeah, Optimus Prime and Benji. So, yeah.
All right. So next, we've got Toy Story.
Yes.
And Randy Newman with You Got a Friend in Me.
Yes.
Which sounds like every other Randy Newman song I ever released.
Yeah, but it fits, though.
The
toys are friends, and they're your friends and whatnot, and it fits. Is it epically?
No,
but it's great. It's great. It's a solid tier two.
I'd go with that. I watched Toy Story in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the few times I went to the movies as a kid, because movies were expensive and it was in a kind of rough part of town.
Did you not catch a part where I said Dollar Movie Theater?
We had Dollar Movie Theater.
Yeah, well, that one is burnt down now.
Burnt down now, yeah. They only just reopened the old movie theater in Port Talbot.
Oh, cool.
And it's not a movie theater anymore. They've turned it into a venue.
Oh,
so there's musicians playing up there.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, sorry about
that. So we had that as great.
We had that as great. We've only got 1, 2, 3, 4 ones left.
Yes.
And I dominated. I won the debate on this next song coming up.
Yes, you did. But you were right. So go ahead.
Iggy Pop, Lust for Life on the Trainspotting soundtrack.
Yes.
Now, there are two songs that sum up Trainspotting. There's Bone Slippy and there's Lust for Life. And I mean, this plays over the beginning, opening, iconic scene, you know, choose life, choose, you know, the whole speech by Ewan McGregor, which ironically isn't in the book.
Right.
So I don't think it's in the book anyway.
I have to go back and look.
Oh, no. I have to have an excuse to read that book again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Crane Spawn is a fantastic
Do you still have your copy of the second book? Because that's been pulled, and it might be worth something now.
It's down
It's
there.
Been pulled and reworked, and you've got the original cover.
I've got the original cover, yes.
Yes.
I have porno, yes. Yes. But I'm not... Anyway, this song... The song and the artist... This is one of these rare times that the song, artist, and movie fit each other like a glove.
Yes, and they weren't intended for each other. Like, Lust for Life was out many years before Trainspotting.
Yeah, just Irvin Welsh is a big Iggy Pop fan. Yes. And...
Who isn't? I mean, Bowie was a huge Iggy Pop fan. So...
But he was such a huge Iggy Pop fan that, you know, he wrote subplots in the book about, like, the bit where they're talking about, you know, I'm going to see Iggy Pop mm-hmm. in the movie.
Yeah.
That actually is one of the chapters in the book.
Yeah.
You know, talking about it. And they actually describe him going to the concert and everything like that at the Barrowlands.
Yeah.
So, you know, Iggy Pop and Trainspotting fit together, you know.
Like a glove.
Like a glove. I don't want to bring Lou Dawes. Like My Chemical Romance and Twilight. You know?
Yes.
I was thinking love out of you.
Yes. So all right.
But we put that into epic.
Yes, that is an epic song.
Sarah, you lead the way on this one because this one has a story to tell.
It does have a story. So once upon a time, a movie was coming out named Con Air, where you put the bunny back in the box.
Yes.
There was a song that was
Watch
written.
Watch our review on that one.
Yes. There is a song that was written for the movie by Diane What's-Her-Face, who's the same one who wrote Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I forget her last name. Look her up, please.
You've got your phone.
I know, but I'm speaking. So, sorry. But anyway, the song was written for the movie. It's called How Do I Live? Now, originally it was pitched to two separate artists. It was pitched to Trisha Yearwood and it was pitched to Leanne Rimes. Both of them were kind of assured that their version was going to be the one on the soundtrack. Trisha is the one who won out, and it is actually played in the bar before the thing that happens. The movie's been out a million years, but before,
I haven't done a review on it.
Yes. So before the fight in which he becomes the Con of Con Air. Leanne Rimes' version is good, and she even, the music video has her standing on like derelict plane parts. Because it was supposed to be for the thing. And what's Diane's last name?
I'm seeing if this is the right person.
What's the name? And I'll tell you.
Diane Warren?
Yes.
Okay.
That is her. She wrote... we could do an episode on Diane Warren. I mean, really. Like, list off some of those songs that you're seeing.
Let me see. Hang on. Single release. All I Want Is Forever.
Uh-huh.
By, on the Tap soundtrack. All You Mean to Me Is Everything on the Real soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Hang on.
That's his chair, by the way. He didn't just toot.
Are You Gonna Be There by NSYNC?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to find one. Still a lot of Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
Can't Fight the Moonlight by Leanne Rimes. She's one of Leanne Rimes' songwriters. Can't Take That Away from Mariah Carey from Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie that we're not going to cover.
No.
Anyway, so it's a bunch of songs.
Yeah, she's like her generation's Burt Bacharach. I mean, it's just her and her piano, and she just cranks stuff out.
Okay.
And I love her. But anyway... Trisha's version ended up going on the soundtrack. I love Trisha Yearwood. She's the one who, before Matthew McConaughey was Mr. All Right, he was Walk Away Joe in a Trisha Yearwood video. That was his very first gig.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, love Trisha Yearwood. However, this version... I've got it in as all right.
Yeah, I think that's what we put it in.
Too.
It's like some random person beating that generation's Taylor Swift. Because Leanne Rimes was on
She was on track. Yeah,
to be the next Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she had some drama issues. Yeah. She had some issues with her family. Her dad was not the greatest. Anyway, all right, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Next, we have Tia Carrera with Ballroom Blitz from the Wayne's World soundtrack.
Yes.
I love this.
With your soul.
Yes. I've got it as great.
I've got it as great too, and we've discussed Wayne's World on this podcast called Many, Many Moons Ago. Go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best Saturday Night Live adaptation of a movie. Of their characters. Can you think of any better? Equal maybe, but better no. I mean, someone will say the Blues Brothers, but...
Yeah, there's Blues Brothers. Well, I mean, from that class of Saturday Night Live, yes. I mean, I liked Coneheads and stuff.
Well, I like Coneheads. I love Coneheads. I thought it was...
And Blues Brothers, yes. But
you like the Dan Aykroyd character.
Yeah, okay. Minus Dan Aykroyd and Belushi. Was Happy Gilmore originally...
Nope.
No?
Adam Sandler's characters were completely and utterly original.
Well, no, but he was also in Saturday Night Live.
I know he was on Saturday Night Live, but what I mean is they were separate of Saturday Night Live.
Okay, and then, but what about...
Because you'd have Opera Man in the movie.
God, I wish we did. But what about Spade and Farley?
I'm not sure.
See, that's... Yeah. That anything with Farley just supersedes. Well,
according to David Spade,
mm-hmm.
keeping this aligned with Mike Myers...
Mm-hmm.
Farley only had like 3 days more to go to voice Shrek before he died.
Oh no, Farley was going to be Shrek?
Yeah, can you tell by looking at Shrek? The donkey pulls facial expressions and you can think, oh, that's Eddie Murphy, right?
How did I not know this?
Yeah, Farley was going to be Shrek. And they offered it to Mike Myers because they didn't have enough. You know how when a voice actor dies and then they pull verbiage and stuff like that, they didn't have enough for Farley to do it, so they had to replace him with somebody, and that somebody became Mike Myers.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
You are crying.
I know. I really love Farley. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, it's not okay. Anywho, so. Wayne's World.
Yes.
Ballroom Blitz. I've got this as great.
We have it as great.
Fabulous.
And the last one.
Yes, before I go and have an epic cry, is Wild Wild West from Wild Wild West by Will Smith.
Off his album Big Willie Style. Will Smith's got a cuss at his rap to sell records. Well, I do, so. And they went right
now,
6 seconds.
Wild Wild West. The movie was a take on the old 60s TV show.
Okay.
So,
I did not know that.
Yes, which originally starred, if I'm not mistaken, James Garner, who was Maverick, the Mel Gibson. Yeah. And James Garner's been a bunch of stuff too. But if I'm not, no, wait. Wild Wild West was not Garner. No, Garner was Maverick.
Garner was Maverick, yeah.
Okay, it was somebody else. Anyway, but... It was a reboot. It was a movie remake of a 60s TV show. And but the song was written sort of like the Men in Black song to be a, you know, thing.
Commercial for the film.
Yeah. And so as such, his name was like Jim West or something. Who played Jim West?
You had Michael Dunn,
uh-huh.
Douglas Henderson.
I think it was Douglas Henderson.
James Gregory, uh-huh. And then Roy Engel.
I think it was
Richard Keel,
mm-mm.
William Charlotte.
Mm-mm.
Those are recurring characters. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I thought I was looking at the cast.
Wait. So who played James West?
It's not showing me. Right, so let me go to the IMDb site.
Yes. Into his
I'll own. Cut this down when we get to the... Robert Conrad.
Okay, yeah. All right, so... Anyway, so the song is okay, and it's catchy. All of Will Smith's stuff from that time is catchy as all get out. But it doesn't really fit the movie, and as such, I had it as good.
And I thought it was average.
So it landed in I.
So that was. I mean, it was an alright song. Yeah. And it was an alright movie. It was.
Yeah.
Will Smith was coming off the high of Men in Black, and he had some other good movies lined up.
Right. And also, with all of that, Maverick hadn't been out that far since, too, and they were trying to cash in on that reboot movie thing from the 60s, and it just didn't.
It didn't.
So
that was what we decided, yes. Right? Those are our rankings. So
yes.
We then decided to rank them a second time to what they actually were. So we're going to go backwards. We're going to go backwards from bottom to top, okay?
Okay.
In epic movie songs of the 90s.
How did we list them?
We listed them 37 to number 2.
Hit it.
It went. There She Goes by The Lurs. Everything I Do For You by Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves by Bryan Adams. Steeler's Wheel, Stuck in the Middle with You. Will Smith, Wild Wild West. Trisha Yearwood, How Do I Live? The Wallflowers, Heroes. Madonna, Beautiful Stranger. Then you had Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. Then you had Aerosmith, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Men in Black by Will Smith. The Shoop Song by Cher.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage, The World Is Not Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Gin Blossoms.
Iris.
No, Until I Hear From You.
Mm.
Wet Love Is All Around.
Yeah.
The Boo Radleys.
Mm-hmm.
There She Goes.
Mm-hmm.
Hold Me, Kiss Me, Thrill Me, Kill Me by U2. Then in great category from bottom to top, we had You Got a Friend in Me. Kiss from a Rose. Ballroom Blitz. Used to Be My Playground. Hi, Iris. Stay, I Miss You. And Love Fool.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the epic category from bottom to top,
mm-hmm.
we had Love Roller Coaster by the Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
We had Sir Elton John.
Can You Feel the Love
Can
Tonight?
You Feel the Love Tonight? Mm-hmm. Righteous Brothers, Unchained
mm-hmm.
Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith.
Mm-hmm.
Gomez, You Haven't Turned Around. Don't Cry For Me, Argentina by Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Spice Up Your Life by the Spice Girls. Lust for Life by Iggy
mm-hmm.
Pop.
Mm-hmm.
R.E.M. Great Beyond. God Give Rock and Roll to You Kiss. Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. Whitney Houston. From The Bodyguard, whose name escapes me right now because I can't see it.
I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You, finally. And the most epic 90s song from movies, from the epicness, went to... Bad Boys.
Ah.
It's the one that suits the movie the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that's a great song.
Yes.
And it launched careers.
Absolutely.
Even though it was a vehicle for somebody else.
Yes.
So... That is it. Do you agree with us? I'm going to put a link to our ranking in the description of this podcast.
Fabulous.
You can rank your own ones and tell us what we've done wrong.
Yes.
Tell us in our social media pages what we've done right and what we've done wrong.
Yes.
And any songs that we've missed out that you think would fit these categories, because I only picked 37 of them. That's all I could be bothered to find.
You almost said already did.
Yeah, I almost said already did.
Uh-huh.
That's all I could be bothered to find. No, I did have a list. The huge list, and I cut it down to this 37, and because I didn't want to be here for 3 hours, so that is it. I'll be back here in a couple of minutes. Sarah, you want to stay on, or are you going to hop off?
I'm going to go cry.
Okay.
I miss Chris Farley.
Okay. Yes. While Sarah's dealing with her Farley issues,
I will.
I'll be back here in a couple of minutes to talk about what's going to happen next week and what's going on. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. thank you once again for Sarah coming on once again to show the humor and everything that has made me so hopelessly in love with this woman for the last 20 years. It's getting near our anniversary. In fact, by the time this comes out, we'll be 10 days away from our wedding anniversary. So thank you again for being awesome, and thank you for loving me so much and putting up with my dumb ass at times. So yeah, it's awesome. So I want to thank everybody who's been watching our Dog Ate My Homework series for Pokemon Red. We had another episode drop today, in fact, and we've got another one coming up next week. If you don't know what Dog Ate My Homework is, it's where some production errors happened on the 90s Gamer and I've had to start from scratch. So Dog Ate My Homework with this season, and we decided to do it from YouTube. We've done several streams so far. We did one today, in fact. So that was fun. And now we've got another one coming up next Sunday at 1 o'clock. So be there. I don't know where we are in the series just yet, because I'm recording this way out in advance, and I don't know where we will be by the time this is out, but oh well. Next week, let me look at my handy dandy little sheet one more time, because I've got a memory like a sieve. Next week, I'm going to be joined by Greg Gregory. Greg is going to be here to talk about Super Mario All-Stars on the SNES. Yes, the reboot and reimagining of the original Mario games. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that. Sarah will be back in a couple of weeks before she does 4 episodes in a row with us. So it's going to be a lot of fun doing that. And that's all I've got really for this week. It's been a heck of a time recording this episode. This is our second attempt at recording it, and I'm hoping that it turns out better than the first one. So, because the first one, like I said, I was cutting in and out, and it would have taken me way too long. So yeah, that sounds about right for where I want to call it good. So thanks again to Sarah. Next week, Greg will be here, and thanks everybody for watching our Pokemon Red series over on YouTube. So that's it. Take it easy, everybody. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and I don't know why I'm quoting that man, but oh well. Take it easy, everybody. Bye. Okay, just checking something. Sorry about that. We'll start that again. Because I didn't see the squiggles.
My audio doesn't squiggle, squiggle. It flats.
All right. That's the one on the end.